Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
So today is going to be a little bit different. This is not your typical episode of the Fallout Lorecast. We are not digging into the lore of the games because some things probably more important than that have been happening this week. If you have, I don't know, been on the internet at all or talked to any other gamers out there, then you are probably aware of the layoffs that happened earlier this week from Microsoft, Xbox. And if you haven't been paying attention, Bethesda and all of the Bethesda studios have been underneath Xbox and Microsoft for a few years now. A few years back, they purchased everything. There was a transition of power, you could say. And the hope was that with all of, well, all the money that Microsoft could throw at something, that this would mean good things. Maybe we don't have to wait many, many, many years between major Fallout game releases. But things are changing, and I'm going to go into all of the details here. I know that there's a lot of different opinions, and there are a lot of different pieces of information circulating the internet, social media, and some of those things are more accurate than others. And what this actually means to the future of the Fallout franchise is the most important thing for us to discuss on this show right now, because the future will not be the same. And let me say this right here at the very beginning. For us, in the topic of this show being Fallout and the Fallout lore and the future of games so that we can talk more about the lore, that's very important. But in the real world, this has affected thousands of people's lives. So before I get into any more of the details, my heart goes out to you. I've been a part of corporate downsizing where I didn't do anything wrong, but my entire department was gutted and I was let go. I know what this is like. This is not a great time and it does not feel good. And hopefully all of you will land on your feet. Every single one of these people who were cut at these jobs put something of themselves into products that we enjoy and love, and they deserve better than this. This is the nature of the way the corporate world works. And to me, it feels kind of feudalistic in a way. Like, hey, we don't need those farmers anymore, so you're gone, but then what do you go do? That sort of thing, just in the modern world. So first and foremost, my heart goes out to you. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're able to find new jobs and all of that, and that your families will be okay. So with that said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run down the specifics about what was actually said, what I've been able to discover was done, why they did it, why did Xbox make this decision, and what this means specifically for the future of Fallout games. And I will tell you up front right now that it is a mixed bag. I have mixed emotions about this, and we'll get into the details. Okay, so what exactly happened? Well, specific words are important, and so I'm not going to paraphrase things. I am going to read the blog post on Microsoft.com by Amy Coleman, the EVP and Chief People Officer, and we're going to see in their own words what they did and their justifications for this. So here we go. Amy says, "When I stepped into this role, I promised to communicate more openly with you and share the why behind our decisions." All right, good start. "Today we are eliminating 4,800 roles, about 2.1% of our global workforce, as we focus our people, investments, and energy on the priorities that will keep Microsoft positioned to deliver for customers in a fast-changing industry. The people whose jobs are impacted today are our colleagues and friends. They have made meaningful contributions to Microsoft, and we are deeply grateful for everything they have done." All right, corporate speak for, hey, don't look, we're not as heartless as we look like we are. We just have to make these decisions, right? Because money and investors. But okay, well, I'll stop sharing my own feelings about this. We'll just keep moving. "Decisions like these are never easy, and you have my commitment that we are always looking for ways to reduce the need for job eliminations. Whenever possible, our priority is to place people into new roles aligned in the company's highest priorities and greatest areas of opportunity. Over the past year, we have redeployed more than 4,000 employees into new roles, including another 500 this month." So what she's saying here is, we could have let those people go, but we found other uses for them, so we're the good guys, right? She goes on, we will also transition 4 of our gaming studios to operate under new management with the goal of preserving both their intellectual property and ongoing projects. Okay, that sounds pretty good. In addition, more than 30% of eligible employees choose to participate in our recent voluntary retirement program, and we will continue exploring similar approaches in the future. Okay, so I don't know what that retirement program gives them, but I'm assuming that was a, hey, we know that we're probably going to get the axe here, so let's just take the money and leave, that sort of thing. If they're even offering any severance, I don't know. While this doesn't change the difficulty of today's news, we will continue to do everything we can to create opportunities for our people, reduce the need for job eliminations where possible, and responsibly support those affected with care and respect. Well, I hope that is the case. We'll see. The why is this. Our business is changing because the world around it is changing. The way technology is built, deployed, and used is transitioning faster than at any point in my time here. That's code speak for AI is a big deal. It's going to make us a ton of money, so it has to be our priority, or at least that's my interpretation. Our customers' needs are shifting. The business models that serve them are shifting, and that means the work itself. What we do, where we focus, and how we organize has to be transformed too. Companies don't get to choose whether their industry changes. They only get to choose whether they change with it. That means we will need to adjust resources and roles and shift how we operate so we can have the greatest impact for our customers. Now, she's not specifically saying the gaming industry has changed, although that is true, but that seems to be implied here. Like, the unspoken context is something like not just the AI stuff I talked about, which we'll talk about more, but these companies designed their structures, hired these employees for a gaming industry that focused on X, and X is no longer true because now we have to focus on Y because we have to shift with the way the weather changes, that sort of thing. And I'm sure there's some accuracy to that, but she didn't state that specifically. So I'm not sure if that's just something that we are supposed to intuit or if there's more to it. But she does address some problems with AI. It's not exactly what I'm thinking, but she says this. I also want to be direct that the roles eliminated today are not being replaced by AI. At the same time, what is true is that AI is changing how work gets done. Some of the tasks we do every day can now be automated, and that means we all need to keep learning, keep building new skills, and keep adapting as the work evolves. Our customers are navigating this same shift, and they're counting on us to help them through it. We can't do that well unless we're doing it ourselves. This comes down to 2 commitments: making the decisions needed to drive differentiated customer value and supporting the people affected by them. Now, I get what she's saying here, but I don't see how this has anything to do with the video gaming side of the company. What she's saying is the technology side of the company needs to keep investing in AI because that's what our customers expect, and we need to be right on the edge just with all of them. And yeah, she's saying that the roles eliminated were not replaced by AI, but if the people there who are using AI, let's say the game designers, coders, and people like that, and it makes their jobs more efficient, then less jobs are needed, which means there's redundancies. So yeah, maybe you're not hiring an AI, maybe you're not just using an AI to completely do somebody's job, but if you need less people because the technology changed, then in actuality, the AI did replace people. But I think really what she's talking about here is the greater focus of Microsoft as a whole. And this is something we have to remember. Microsoft's game division, Xbox, is a very, very small piece of their greater business. And when the executives are looking at where the money comes from and how the money is allocated, they are using the measurements of the most profitable, or at least the most what they think will be profitable sections of the business. And then they are looking at the other parts of the business, which may still be profitable, but then they are trying to use those same measurements and expectations in those other sections of the business. Or at least that's how it appears to me. So let's say if I'm just going to pull out numbers here. Let's say they're making 20% profits on Xbox. It's probably not that high, but they look at AI and AI is making 80% profits, or is they're expecting it to. Well, now they're going, well, we need more people to be playing our games in order to bring it up on par with the other parts of our business. That's all speculation on my part, but that's kind of what this feels like, right? She's got a few more things to say here. First, we will make the hard changes required to build differentiated products and services that deliver differentiated customer value. This feels like corporate speak, but let's see what she says. We are aligning our investments, people, and energy to our business priorities. Today's changes mostly fall within our commercial and Xbox organizations. In our Microsoft commercial business, they build on last week's Frontier company announcement, reshaping how we work and embedding our engineering experts alongside customers so we can help them accelerate their technology deployments. All right, that has nothing to do with us. Whatever you guys want to do with that, that's fine. Let's talk about Xbox. In Xbox, we are restructuring to position the business for long-term success. Engineering teams across the company will also evolve their structure and priorities to meet customer needs and innovate for the future. All right, that makes sense. Like, shouldn't all of the teams be making sure that they evolve and that their structure and priorities meet customer needs and continue to innovate for the future? Isn't that what every business should be doing all the time? But okay. Second, we will do this thoughtfully. As mentioned above, we are working on alternative solutions to job eliminations. And beyond this, we will continue to invest in equipping employees with new skills, including in AI. For those who are impacted, we provide financial support and resources to help them take their next steps. Again, I hope that's true and I hope it's enough. Then there's some other touchy-feely stuff at the end that she adds in here, but that's the official announcement. That is what officially went out. So what does that mean, though? What was the actual job cut? How did that affect Bethesda and ZeniMax's studios? How will this affect Fallout? Well, there are some other details that have emerged. First of all, Xbox is cutting 3,200 jobs, 3,200 jobs, 20% of the Xbox organization. Now, think about that for a minute. That's one out of five people. Think about where you work. Think about when you've had your last big meeting and everyone is gathered around. Now imagine one out of every five of those people do not come back to work the next day. And on top of that, well, 1,600, only half of them were eliminated this week. They're going to eliminate another 1,600 sometime in the next 12 months. And those people don't know who they are, right? Now, why would a business do this? Why would they announce ahead of time that they're going to cut this many jobs, but then only cut half of them? Well, remember, she stated that some people have accepted their deal to retire or move on. I've been through this. When you tell people that job cuts are coming, everybody in the organization, for the most part, 90% of them, start looking at other opportunities. If those people leave on their own, then they don't necessarily have to be given a severance package. This saves the company money, but it also creates a lot of emotional stress. So along with this blog post, Asha Sharma, the new CEO of Xbox and vice president of Microsoft Gaming, has talked about this a little bit more. And she has said that there are too many levels of management across some of these studios, citing that it's like 14 levels of management is too many, that sort of thing. I don't remember if it was exactly 14. I think 14 might be what they're trying to remove. But there are way too many levels of management. And everybody knows middle managers are kind of useless in a lot of situations, and they often just kind of fill chairs. That I'm sure some of them are useful. If you're a middle manager, don't take offense, but that let's be true. Let's be honest here. Corporate stuff gets kind of bloated. She's not wrong about that. And she has also stated that most of their studios should be working with three levels of management and five at the absolute most, which is way more reasonable. And I get that. What she's saying isn't wrong, but when you look at the numbers of how many people were let go and who was let go, most of them were not middle managers. Most of them were people on the ground. Developers, Q&A, marketing, design. which speaks more to the idea that they are removing redundancies because they are consolidating how these studios work on projects and what they work on. And this is an interesting point because one of the things that they have specifically said is that they want to focus on which games are most important. And on the surface, that sounds great, right? But they didn't specifically say which games those were. The assumption is that it's Fallout and Elder Scrolls, and then other people online have shared that it's probably also Wolfenstein, Doom, and Quake, the id titles that are machine games. Okay, well, those ones are the most successful. They make the most profit, so it would make sense. And I think we can assume that Fallout and Elder Scrolls are the two biggest IPs, and so therefore, they make the most of the most sense. And so we're not going to not get more Fallout. We don't need to be worried about that. But what kind of Fallout stuff are we going to get? Well, we need to take a look at the number of people who were affected specifically underneath ZeniMax and Bethesda and those studios. There is an article on gamedeveloper.com that was just updated today with some numbers. And at the very top of that article, it says, a WARN notice, W-A-R-N capitalized, filed in Texas, has confirmed that Xbox subsidiary ZeniMax Media has laid off 158 people in the USA. So of those 1,600 that are currently gone, 1/10 of them were ZeniMax Media employees. It goes on. The document sent to Game Developer upon request by the Texas Workforce Commission states that 96 of those redundancies are being made at the office of id Software in Richardson, Texas. 40 remote workers reporting into that location have also been let go, indicating 136 roles have been eliminated in total. The remaining 22 layoffs have been made at Bethesda Game Studios office in Austin. This is the Fallout 76 main office, and we know that they work with some of the other studios. There is some cross work between the studios under that Bethesda umbrella, and they have some external studios that they have used to do other things, like to make some of the cosmetic items that you can buy on the shop and that sort of thing. Out of those 158 workers being laid off in Texas, 146 are represented by Labor Union Communication Workers of America. That's a good sign. That's 1BGS. Now, 1BGS is a union. They unionized when the whole Microsoft thing was going to happen in order to take care of themselves and to try to negotiate for better stuff, basically. Severance packages and better treatment, all of that kind of thing. Now, we don't have total numbers. I don't know the total number of employees across all of the studios, but we do know that the total numbers were, in 2024, 241 U.S. employees across Rockville, Austin, and Dallas combined. It also doesn't list anybody in Bethesda, Maryland, which is the main BGS studio, the one that does the bulk of the mainline game work. Although, again, a lot of the work gets distributed across each of the studios, and they kind of help each other out when they need help. So, let's dig into what 1BGS, their union, has to say about this. They posted this to Blue Sky. Today, we say goodbye to many of our friends and colleagues and to hundreds more across Xbox, including folks that have worked at Bethesda Game Studios for decades. When will this cycle of cuts in pursuit of ever-growing profits end? In what is becoming a stressful annual routine, Microsoft has decided to lay off thousands, including many of us at Bethesda Game Studios. With over 1,000 developers already cut from previous rounds, remember, they did some layoffs previously that already affected people. Those at the top have deemed that insufficient in fixing their mistakes. Today, we say goodbye to many of our friends and colleagues and to hundreds more across Xbox, including folks that have worked at Bethesda Game Studios for decades. When will this cycle of cuts in pursuit of ever greater profits end? Because of our 1BGS union, we have the right to negotiate over the impacts of these layoffs, helping secure stronger severance packages and better support for those leaving the company. We will do everything we can to make sure our friends are properly taken care of. And this proves to me that unions are important, especially when you work for a major, gigantic corporation. But that's not the only thing that we've heard from Bethesda employees, or now previous Bethesda employees. Some of them have posted on LinkedIn and on social media, explaining their perspective on things and thanking people for their compassion and all of that. And if you follow any of those people online, please send them a note. Send them a note and saying, you know, thank you for your work and all of that. I'm sure it would mean the world to them. But we also have gotten some responses like this one, which I just saw posted on the UESP, if you're not familiar with Elder Scrolls stuff, that's the main Elder Scrolls wiki that does an amazing job. We talk about it all the time on the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. They posted this on their X account. They said, Bethesda employees have requested that you support this post on the Xbox feedback platform in response to the recent waves of annual layoffs. Please give it an upvote supporting comment. And the post that they shared is from Wit Yao, who says, end studio closures and stop the cycle of layoffs. The layoff of 3,200 workers at Xbox, and this is where we get a list of all of the different studios who were affected, across Activision, Bethesda / ZeniMax, Blizzard, King, Mojang, Obsidian, id Software, and Xbox Game Studios is unacceptable. This continues as a pattern that has led to 10,000 layoffs at Xbox in as little as 2 years. Multiple studios have been closed and had their futures jeopardized. Compulsion Games, Double Fine, Undead Labs, Ninja Theory, Tango Games, Arcane Austin, Alpha Dog Games, and Roundhouse Studios. If you're familiar with any of those, they're now gone. And numerous games have been canceled. The developers and players agree that this cannot continue. A true reset that meets the needs of the Xbox community looks like the following. Number one, transparency for players. Heck yeah. Showcasing games from studios they intend to sell or close weeks later feels bad for players. Absolutely. Two, keep teams together. No layoffs for the next 2 years and end studio closures. Studio closures hurt the fans of the studio. Yes. Number three, Xbox is already profitable without reaching a billion people every day. Stop constraining Xbox by unrealistic profit expectations of the Microsoft accountability margin. That is the reference right there to this idea that I shared earlier, that Microsoft is looking at AI profits and how that will work and trying to raise the expectations across the business in every other section of the business. But that's not how money works. That's not how people work. Number four, trust the developers. Negotiate in good faith with unions and developers so they can better represent the needs of both developers and gamers. Number five, layoffs are a failure of leadership. Absolutely. No executive bonuses when there is a layoff. Yes. If the people working under you are suffering because you made bad decisions, then you should have to suffer too, right? Right? Number six, invest in the future of gaming. Invest in the future generation of video game developers instead of unpopular technologies like AI that players don't want. Game development expertise is the biggest asset of a video game company. And to dig into that last comment, game development expertise can never really be replaced by an AI helping you write code or helping you write a conversation for an NPC or something like that. The concept of making a good game takes years and decades of experience. Game designers can't be replaced by AI because the AI will never have the insights and the creative input that decades of experience from a human being can bring to innovate on video games. It just won't work. So there you go. So that's what has happened. And that's, I mean, there's more to it, but that's as much as I want to cover right here. And many of those other studios will be affected. Some of the studios that Microsoft has are being let go or sold off, but the ones they are keeping include BGS, the ZeniMax team who works on Elder Scrolls Online, although many of those people were let go as well, but they are keeping Obsidian and id Software, and Blizzard hasn't had any layoffs yet. And some of the other BGS studios that work in and around Fallout and other stuff. So the question then becomes, how does this affect the future of Fallout? Well, I think we can clearly see that whatever was planned before is going to change in some way. Are there going to be new games? Are they going to come more often? Are they going to be single player? Are they going to be spin-offs like Tactics and Brotherhood? Are we going to get less Fallout 76? What's going on with the remaster? Well, I've got some info on all of that. So first of all, the Fallout 3 remaster, we've been speculating about this for a long time. I've talked with our patrons about it. It's something that I firmly believe is in development and has been. If you look at the success of the Oblivion remaster and how much that sold, and the fact that that was done by an external studio, and they haven't been making updates to it, so they're working on something else, it seems like. And on top of it, this was one of those games that was in that leaked Microsoft acquisition document from when they were purchasing Bethesda. And a lot of that stuff, most of that stuff has come true so far over the years. So my assumption is that that is still going to be a thing. And on top of it, Todd Howard has said, we have multiple projects, multiple Fallout projects that we are working on. Just today, Jeff Gerstmann from Giant Bomb, he was one of the founders of Giant Bomb. He's been a game journalist and done some other stuff for decades now. Generally trustworthy guy, pretty on the front of this type of stuff, said specifically in his podcast, in fact, someone else has put in quite a lot of work into a Fallout 3 remake that is yet to officially materialize. And I don't even know if that game is, I assume that it is still happening, but maybe it's dead? Who can say? But I have seen footage of a Fallout 3 remake, so someone somewhere made something. It's very vague, but it seems to confirm that an official Fallout 3 remake is being worked on, and you take that with Asha's statement that they are going to basically double down on the game IPs that are actually profitable, and that seems to confirm that it does really exist in the world. The question is only, when will it come out? My hopes are this fall, although I think it's more likely that we'll get it around the same time we got the Oblivion remaster, which was, I believe, March, so maybe the beginning of next year. So if that's being worked on, then it's not unreasonable to think that they would then move on from that to a Fallout New Vegas, especially if it sells well. Okay, so that's some good news, but not really anything that we haven't heard before, and it still kind of just lines up with my expectations. So let's move on. What about more games? There's definitely been complaint that it seems ridiculous that the mainline Fallout and Elder Scrolls games are all under the main Bethesda, Maryland, BGS studio, and it takes them what feels like a decade to put out a game these days. And Jason Schreier, who is a journalist, a game journalist, he's revealed a whole bunch of cool stuff, behind-the-scenes stuff at Blizzard, all these things, stated in a July 7th Bloomberg Live Q&A that Elder Scrolls 6 is still 2 to 3 years away at least from being completed and launched. There was hope. People have been speculating about this for years as well. There was hope it would come out this year. Chances are it's not going to come out this fall. The next hope was then maybe next fall. But 2 to 3 years away is a lot longer than anybody was hoping. And Todd has said that the next game they'll work on after Elder Scrolls 6 is Fallout 5. But if we're still 2 or 3 years away from Elder Scrolls 6 releasing, then that means we are, at the bare minimum, what, 8 years away from Fallout 5? That's a long time. That is ridiculous. Fallout 4 is already over 10 years old. That is insane. So I can see why management and Asha, the CEO, would say, no, we need to get more of these games out faster. How do we do that? Well, one option that has been speculated, and I've talked about it before, is giving another studio the right to create a single-player Fallout game. Again, just like New Vegas, which worked out great. And guess what? Obsidian is an Xbox Microsoft studio. And although some people have been laid off, the studio is still working. They didn't get rid of that studio. Then the question remains, are they busy with other things, or are they going to work or have been working on a Fallout game? Well, according to former Obsidian co-founder Chris Avellone, who has worked on Fallout before, he specifically said out in public recently that Avowed 2, remember Obsidian did Avowed, they also did The Outer Worlds and Grounded. They've typically had multiple games all working simultaneously or working on simultaneously and then released them fairly close to each other. So they're a sizable enough studio to take on multiple projects. But what he has said is that Avowed 2 is too far along to have been canceled. Now, Avowed 1 wasn't a resounding success. It sold okay, and I
my gut says that most people played it on Game Pass before the price hike happened and people left Game Pass. But this both confirms that that is being worked on and is too far along for them to pivot. But Microsoft is the one making decisions here, and they're not afraid to just scrap something clearly and just let stuff go.
I like chewing gum.
You like chewing gum. Probably. Most of us like chewing gum. But what if your gum actually did something more than just taste good and make your breath better? I mean, think about it. You brush in the morning, you brush in the evening, but then you go for like all day without taking care of your teeth. And that's why I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. It's not really regular chewing gum. It's remineralized chewing gum. It's basically oral care in gum form. It tastes great, and you chew it for like 5 or 10 minutes, you spit it out, you move on, or you keep on chewing it if you like it. And sometimes I have a second one, or a third one. I mean, they taste real good. Can you blame me? And it's made from hydroxyapatite. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's the same mineral that the enamel on your teeth is made from. It comes from natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it's got this like firm, satisfying chew. It's not so plasticky or rubbery. And did I mention I really like the flavor? I really like the flavor. And I'm feeling healthier about my mouth and my teeth. It's a good feeling. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making and packing and shipping gum every day, made in the US. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush by Nathan and Sons. That's Underbrush from Nathan and Sons. Then I noticed today that Paul Tassi at Bloomberg also, same with Jason Schreier, they're both at Bloomberg, but Paul Tassi, another solid source for information about game stuff, generally pretty accurate when he's quoting other people and tries to be very honest. That's the sense I get. Said today that Obsidian Entertainment, a subsidiary of Microsoft Corp's Xbox, has canceled multiple projects and will begin working on a new game in the popular Fallout franchise as part of the division's broader restructuring, according to people familiar with the matter. The video game studio based in Irvine, California, also laid off around a quarter of its workforce, said the people who asked not to be identified because they were not authorized to speak to the press. So thankfully, some people leaked this information and it's gotten out, and hopefully it's true. I mean, leaks, you got to take them. You know, you never know, right? As part of the shakeup, Obsidian has canceled a planned sequel to the 2025 role-playing game Avowed, along with other unannounced projects. This is on Bloomberg.com, so if you want to go look that up, it's right there. So if you're in the maybe they'll make a new Vegas 2 camp, then this is probably good news. Now, Obsidian is a different studio than it was years, a decade and a half ago when they were working on New Vegas, but they do retain some of that talent, including Tim Kaine, who has been working with the studio as kind of an external employee, but has recently taken on a more important role in the company, which seems to connect to Fallout because Tim Kaine is the father of Fallout. So that's some good news. So what does this mean for other Fallout games? What about Fallout 76? Well, the studio that works on Fallout 76 primarily is Bethesda Austin, who lost a number of employees. So it seems like, much like Elder Scrolls Online, Fallout 76's employee list is going to dwindle down. They're going to cut how many people are actively working on those games, which means that the games will continue on, but I would expect that we will see slower development cycles. I expect that a lot of the things they have planned for the future will be slowed down. That's my assumption, because it seems like the focus is switching from these games as service, MMO style online kinds of games back to single player games. And if you're a fan primarily of the single player games, then that sounds like good news. What about spin-off games? Are they going to be doing, I don't know, tactics games or mobile games or other games just set in the Fallout universe? I expect that will probably be the case because they know that those IPs sell. So why take risks on a different style game that's a new IP and more risky, much like what we've seen in the last decade or two in the movie industry? Most of the big movies that come out now are sequels. They're all previously existing IPs. Very few new ideas actually work well in this market. And so they seem to be adjusting to that kind of plan. So does that mean we're going to get these other spin-off type games? Maybe. and I hope they're good if we do, but we'll have to wait and see about that. What about the TV show? Well, recently they started filming season 3. The show has been so successful that this is becoming a big priority for, well, the TV side of the industry. But that's not video games. Okay, so what does this all mean, and what's my conclusion to this? Because it seems like in the midst of all of this terrible news and all of the suffering and the firings and all of that stuff, which is, again, absolutely terrible, that there might be some good news on the other side of this. If we get a New Vegas 2, if we get more Fallout sooner, that would be amazing. Not just from me as a fan and a gameplay perspective and wanting just more games to play, but also as a content creator. It's nice to have new things to talk about. Sure, I haven't covered every little detail of every existing game across the Fallout franchise, but it would also be fun to just play a new game and explore a new world, meet new characters, new quest lines, be able to talk about some of the cool stuff that they added in and how it relates to previous games. That seems like a lot of fun. That seems like the reason why I started this podcast, was to dig into that stuff and have new stuff to talk about and learn things, because I don't know everything about the Fallout universe, and to have more to learn is exciting. That's great. And it's also just great to have new games to play if they're good. And this is the catch. This is the place where I am hesitant, because the recipe for good games is something like enough funding plus good ideas plus an experienced team plus an inspired team. And when you lay off 3,200 people and 10,000 people over just a few years, that does not inspire people. Again, I've been there before. I've worked in the corporate world, and I did so for years under a few different types of jobs. And when the team feels like cogs in a machine, they do not produce good work. That is not how you make artistic products. And games are artistic products. Movies, music, these are artistic products. The way that you make good art is through inspiration and experience. And if you're getting rid of the experienced people and you're destroying the morale, then you don't have good art. And I get that that's kind of a rock and a hard place for a company like Microsoft, but what if they just didn't fire everybody and moved people around and consolidated studios and allowed them to work together, like what seems to be the plan? And this might be a crazy idea. I am not the CEO of a major international company. But what if, when you have a bunch of redundancies and you're looking to put out more products of something, you instead hire to fill the gaps that make those redundancies useful? And then you create more products around the IPs that you know are already successful, utilizing the talent, inspiring them by telling them that they're so valuable you want to keep them around, and then just releasing more games in the styles and in the IPs that you know are going to sell well. I don't think anybody would complain about getting a new Fallout game and a new Elder Scrolls game and a new Quake or Doom or Wolfenstein game every 2 years, like we used to. The release distance between the Elder Scrolls Oblivion and then Fallout 3 and then Fallout New Vegas and Skyrim was something like 5 years. And most of us bought all of them multiple times in some cases. So can you imagine that? That seems like a better world. Okay, I'm going to put my soapbox away. If this has been helpful for you in getting through all the details, please share this episode with other people. If people are confused and they don't know what's actually going on and they're worried about the future of Fallout, send them a link to this, because this explains it in a way that is consolidated and it's not just all over the place with a whole bunch of other people's speculation. I've tried the best I can to pull together the facts so that we can look at those and then try to figure out what's going on from there. All right, time for a quick break, and I'm going to go thank our patrons. Thanks for being here, everybody.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
So thank you to our patrons for continuing to support this show, even though it's been years since we've gotten more Fallout stuff other than some Fallout 76 stuff. Especially thank you to our sentry bots, Germinator, Nova, Main Monkey, and Ira Moody. You guys are the best. In fact, all the patrons are the best. Thank you for your continued support and everything you do to keep this show going. And my hope is to continue making this fun and interesting and digging into lore. And then who knows, hopefully digging more into Fallout 3 stuff with a remaster, and then, man, a New Vegas 2 would be amazing. All of that. So hopefully this is rough times, but we've get better things ahead. And you guys are here making this happen for me and for us and with the Lorecast. So I really do appreciate that. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, share the show with your friends. If they're getting into Fallout from the shows or Fallout 3 remake or whatever they're going to call it comes out and people get excited about that, share the show with them. That would be super helpful. And also, if you'd like to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, I'll read it out on a future episode. That's helpful as well. Or leave some comments on Spotify. Tell me hi. Tell me some nice things on there and leave some 5-star reviews. I appreciate all of your support and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Stay safe in the wasteland. I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.